The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord, this is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us once again for the Word of Faith Netcast. Man, I tell you, there's so many things happening I need to tell you about. There's just a lot going on right now, and I'm excited about it. I'm getting ready, as this airs, it'll be a little over a week away that I'll be going to the ICFM convention in Branson, Missouri. Now, ICFM is the International Convention of Faith Ministries, and I've been invited to speak in a session down there on how to use the internet through video and audio to reach the world. And so we're going to have a session Wednesday afternoon on that. If you are in the area at all, please plan to attend. And particularly, ministers, bring your staff so they can find out about these technologies that we're using right here to broadcast programming such as the Word of Faith Netcast and Word of Faith Broadcast and other things. I'm telling you, you are going to benefit from the information, because the whole title of it is How a Small to Medium-Sized Ministry Can Use the Internet to Reach the World. So how to use it inexpensively to reach the world with the Word of God. Amen. So join us for that, if at all possible, in Branson. Now, you can go to the icfm.org website and get more information about that, the cost of the sessions and so forth. I think if you just come to one workshop, it's $150 for the one workshop. But if you go for the whole week, it's much, much, much less expensive to go to all of the sessions. And there's going to be sessions on all kinds of great topics. So it's a great opportunity for all of you to get involved in what's going on around the world with ICFM. So it is an international organization. There's going to be ministers there, ministries involved from all over the world. So we're excited about that opportunity. The other thing is, changes are coming to SpeakFaith.tv. SpeakFaith.tv beta channel, if you haven't checked that out in a while, that channel, which is a private channel, we can make changes to that very easily, and they don't have to be approved officially by Roku. So we've got a lot of stuff going on the SpeakFaith.tv beta channel. So I encourage you to check that out. You can subscribe to that channel by doing SFTV beta as the special keyword. Go to your Roku.com account, click on Add Private Channel, and do SFTV beta, or as they say in England, beta, and you can get in on that channel as well. The regular channel, the full production channel, some additions and changes are coming to that, but it still hasn't been approved, and I just found out this morning through an email that Roku said there were 80 channels behind, and so they're going to get to it whenever they can get to it. So hopefully those changes will go through here shortly. So a lot of good things are happening there. Word of Faith Radio, Brother Harold Cagle and his wife Peggy are going to be going with me down to Branson. So exciting things are happening there. That's another reason to go to Branson for this ICFM meeting. We're going to have a table set up there, and you're going to be able to talk to me and Harold and Peggy about all the different things that are going on with Word of Faith Radio and SpeakFaith.tv and all those good things. So come on out if you can, all right? All right, we want to get right back into our teaching. In this video that I recorded at Faith and Victory Church, how do you fight the good fight of faith? So this will be part two and the conclusion of this message. Every time the Bible talks about operating in faith, it is never in a passive sense. It's always telling you lay hold on something. It's telling you to seize something. It's telling you to grab hold of something. Every time it is active. Whenever you operate in faith, you never operate in faith passively. I heard Brother Keith Moore say in a teaching recently that I heard, he was talking about when you talk about fighting a good fight of faith, a lot of Christians say, well, brother, I'm just not a fighter. I'm a pacifist. He said, you know what? You're going to get beat up. Because the devil doesn't step back and go, oh, I'm sorry, you're a pacifist. I guess I'll just take it easy on you. The devil's not that way. If you want to know what the devil is like, look at what's going on with ISIS. Because they are completely given over to the devil.
They are devil-inspired, devil-motivated, devil-driven. Okay? And what do? They kill innocent people. They have slaughtered children. And we're talking children that are Muslim, just not the right kind of Muslim. You know, they're Shiite and these others are something else. You know, whatever. It'd be like a denominational thing. You know, if all of a sudden all the Baptists started slaughtering all the Methodists. Well, you know, when I was a Baptist and I went to the Methodist church, I felt kind of funny because it was different. But I wasn't interested in slaughtering anybody. Why? Because our God is a God of peace, truly. I know Islam, you know, Islam's supposed to be a religion of peace. Give me a break. Come on. I mean, verse after verse after verse of kill them, kill them, kill them, if you look in their scriptures, quote unquote. You look in our scriptures, love your enemies. You know, do good unto others. All these kinds of things. But in theirs, a little different. Okay? But now, they're given over to the devil. So, they're killing children. They're beheading innocents to make their point about whatever it is they supposedly believe. And I'm sorry, it's the devil. Yeah. It's a perfect picture of the way the devil treats Christians, treats people in general. He doesn't care in one sense. He is an equal opportunity killer. Yeah. He has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. And the Bible, when it says that in John 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not but for two. That's good King James for saying there's only one reason he comes. To kill, to steal, and to destroy. He has never blessed anybody. He has never healed anybody. Right. You know, again, good Baptist boy. You never know, those people might have got healed by the devil. He doesn't have it to give them. Right. He touches them, they'll die. They'll get sick. That's all he has, is death, sickness, disease. Destruction, that's his whole business. So what do? We have to train people, educate people, show them what the Word of God says, and show them that, you know, I like what Pastor says about that ledger. You put up a ledger, and you put it at the top of one column, kill, steal, or destroy. You put up over here, life and that more abundantly. And you start writing down all the things that fill those columns. And then you know precisely whether it's God or the devil that's at work. Absolutely the truth. God doesn't go around killing, stealing, and destroying. Now, yes, he exercises judgment, and it is righteous judgment, but it is not his practice to go around killing, stealing, and destroying people. That's the devil. So I can look at those two columns, and I can understand which way, you know, what thing is coming against me in a given situation. And you know, it's always in God's column is always life and blessing and abundance and riches and whoo, hallelujah. Blessing in every way. Spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, delivered from all temporal evil. Hallelujah. And then I look over here at the devil's column and it's destruction and death and sickness. And so I know exactly where it's coming from. Now, when we're given the fight to fight, we got to know we win. But we also got to know how do we fight it. And looking at this, again, I like what I heard Keith Moore say. He said, if you want an example of how to fight the fight of faith, go to the expert. And the expert is Jesus. He knows how to fight the good fight of faith. And if you look at him and his earthly ministry, if you go through the Gospels and you look at how he operated, he was using his words to fight the fight of faith in every aspect of his ministry. And he expects us to do the same thing. As a matter of fact, the only time in his life and ministry that he didn't use his words was when he was making himself a sacrifice. Yeah. Because, as we know from the scripture and the good old song, he could have called 10,000 angels. Right. He could have. If he had opened his mouth and said, wait, stop, I want deliverance. Boom. It had all been over. Yeah. He had to hold his peace and be as a sheep dumb before its shearer, as the scripture said, because had he opened his mouth, that double-edged sword would have taken him out. So he had to not speak then in order for the plan to take place as it should and as it did. So if we look at that, And we look at how we're supposed to fight with a double-edged sword of the Word of God. By speaking His Word. By homologio. By speaking the same thing that God speaks. Then we know what our weapon is. We know how to wield it. We know how to use it. We know how to win. But I know a lot of Christians, and sadly, I'm one of those sometimes, I've been there, who doesn't speak. Yeah. We don't open our mouth. We don't speak. We are as a sheep before its shearer is dumb. Unfortunately, we don't have to be silent. Jesus has already borne that sacrifice. He has already been the sacrifice, and He's already delivered us. We don't have to go to the cross. You know, when I was young, charismatic, crazy person, and I was out there preaching the Word best I knew how, I went to a Bible study and there was a lady there. Bless her heart. Her heart was in the right place, but boy was she messed up, doctrinally speaking. She said, "We're supposed to do what Jesus did." And I'm like, you know, the little alarm lights were flashing in my head, and I heard the whoop, whoop, whoop. So I'm like, I'm not going to agree with her until I know where we're going with this. We're supposed to do what Jesus did. Yes, sister, well, what are you saying here? We're to bear the sicknesses of those around us. So I lay hands on people and say, "Lord, take it off of them and put it on me." And I said, "Sister, no. No, hold on a minute. Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. You don't have to. What are you doing trying to bear somebody's sickness and disease?" Well, we're supposed to do what Jesus did. No, Jesus did that. That part's done. We don't have to bear it. She's going around praying for cancer to come on her. And I thought, you know, open the door and the devil will stick his foot in it and get in that way. So I said, "Sister, hold on, hold on." And we went through the scripture, and I tried to show her. But you know, she never wavered from, "I've got to bear their sicknesses." She just heard that doctrine. And people will grab a hold of a doctrine like that, even though it's doctrine of devils, and they'll hold on to it. That's why, you know, again, as a teacher, it's just all over me to teach people the Word so they don't get into stuff like this. And I've heard some strange ones through the years. I've heard some squirrely doctrine. But thank the Lord for my little alarm going off. Well, whoop, whoop, something's wrong. Hold on. You know, and I've heard pastor talk about the same kind of thing. You know, you walk in a building and somebody's up there teaching and the alarm goes off and you know, I think I'll just slide on out, leave the meeting. I tried to do that one time and the guy that was teaching actually stopped me. I had been invited to a Bible study by this pastor. And it bless his heart, this pastor. If I said his name, I absolutely know some of you know who I'm talking about. But he's down the road a ways. And I'm sure he is much wiser now than he was back in the early 70s or late mid-70s. But bless his heart. He invited me one time and said, "Oh, Brother Bill, you got to come to our Thursday night Bible study. We got this guy that's been teaching us. And oh, it is so good." I said, "Well, brother, all right, sure, I'll come to your Bible study." So I came into Bible study, and I got there just a little bit late, and I kind of went in the back, and I sat on the back row. And this guy started teaching. And he was teaching that we as Christians have to bear death and demonstrate death to the world. That's what the world wants to see in Christians is death. And if we would demonstrate death, that would, you know, and I'm listening to this, and I'm getting weaker. Oh, Lord, I can't take this anymore. Life, it's about life, you know. So I finally said, I'm just going to ease on out of here. So I was on the back row already. I just got up and started out. And the guy I was teaching said, "Brother Bill." I went, "Oh, man." So he turned around and says, "Do you disagree with what I'm teaching?" I said, "Yes." "Well, why?" I said, "Well, the Word of God," and I flipped over to the book of Romans and started talking about life, 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 life. "Well, brother, you just don't have my revelation." I said, "Yeah, praise the Lord." So the pastor who had invited me, he said, "Brother Bill, will you come back next Thursday and teach on life?" I said, "Yes, brother, I will." And this guy was, he was just spitting, all upset. I tried to be nice. You know, I tried just to ease on out, but no, he stopped me. And sure enough, that's what we did. I went through the scriptures and I taught them on the life of God, the Zoe life of God. And on and on. Death was an enemy to be conquered. You know, it was the last enemy. And on and on and on. And before it was over with, they were all shouting happy. Because, you know, they were sitting in their seats kind of just like I was. Because it was affecting their spirit. Anyway, I've heard some squirrely doctrine. But that's why I'm so thankful to be in a church where we don't hear squirrely doctrine. We hear the Word of God accurately, and it ministers to us, and it lifts us up. Whew, praise the Lord. You probably do know. I started to say you don't know how big a blessing that is, but I'm sure you do. All right. So, what do we know about the fight of faith? It's a good fight. We win, but we have to lay hold on it, or as the definition of the word lay hold there is, to be aggressive or to seize. Okay? By doing what? Professing a good profession, which, as I said, is that word homologio, or to speak the same thing as God. Now, I want you to think about a few other scriptures here, and then we'll close. Paul said of himself, I have fought a good fight. Well, then what do we know about Paul? He spoke the word of God. He put an emphasis on God's word. He put an emphasis on accuracy of the word of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we know if Paul fought the good fight of faith, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, then he had to be speaking words of faith. Matter of fact, we have Paul's own testimony from the book of Romans chapter 10. He said, what saith it? The word of faith which we preach. We preach. In other words, Paul, Barnabas, all the people with him were word of faith preachers. Right. Now, I've told people before, I feel like I've been good company to be a word of faith preacher. Hallelujah. All right, so he's fought a good fight. He's finished his course. He's kept the faith. That's 2 Timothy 4:7. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 10:34, I wonder now if you've heard all this, if you'll now see this scripture in a little different light. Matthew 10:34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. You know, when I heard that growing up, I went, what? Jesus, I can't picture you with a sword. Yeah, but you can if you look at the book of Revelation. He's got that double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. He came to the earth to bring that double-edged sword of the Word of God. Now, he went on to talk about that there will be divisions because of people not receiving the Word of God and getting off in error and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, but that word picture that I saw there, I came not to send peace, but a sword. And I look at it as the double-edged sword of the Word of God. Now, we're talking about battle here, but not, and I want to emphasize this again, not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, rulers of darkness of this world. A lot of Christians aren't aware that they're in a battle. They're in a war. And they're in that battle whether they want to be in it or not, whether they like it or not. But it's a battle against spiritual forces. There are forces driving that person that's coming against you. I was talking about Facebook. People post things on Facebook and you just get all bent out of shape over it. Well, stop a minute and think, now wait a minute. I'm not going to get mad at that person. There's a spirit or a force or a supernatural issue that's driving this. There's something going on driving this. So I need to not fire back at them. Now again, nothing wrong with telling the truth, nothing wrong with quoting the scripture, whatever, but I'm not going to get mad at them. I'm going to attack the spiritual force behind that. You'll do much more good praying and waging spiritual warfare and quoting the Word of God and interceding than you will trying to get into a battle of words, because that gets into the middle realm and Satan can just have a heyday there. But if you keep it in the spiritual realm, you are a winner, and it is a good fight, and you will win. But you need to use the tools you have at your command. The sword is the Word of God. That is our offensive weapon. And we are to lay hold on these things. We're to be offensive with it. There's nothing wrong with being martial or militant in the spiritual realm. Now, the enemy is martial and militant in the natural realm. We were talking about ISIS earlier. They are waging a physical war in the natural realm. They're being driven by spiritual forces. Well, we don't attack in the natural, we attack in the spiritual. Talking about us individually as Christians. Not saying there shouldn't be military action where necessary. But I am saying for us individually here, where we're at, right here, right now, we ought to be attacking in the spiritual realm with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And we ought to be aggressive about it. Nothing wrong with being aggressive when we do the Word of God. Now, our motivation is love. Our motivation is the Word. Our motivation isn't, I'm just going to fight because I like fighting. You know, watch what spirit you're coming of. Okay, you're coming from. No, but we are to be available to be soldiers in the battle. And in fact, we are, whether we want to admit it or not. It's just a lot of us have sat back and said, I'm just opting out. Well, Satan doesn't opt out. He will come against you anyway. So you might as well get offensive. You know, I like what I heard many, many years ago. The scripture that talks about the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. You know, the gates of hell. And a lot of people said, yeah, that's right. Satan's not going to be able to defeat us. Well, you know, talking about the gates of hell should not prevail, that kind of tells me that we're rushing the gates. In other words, we're on the offensive. We're not on the defensive. We're on the offensive against those gates, and they will not prevail against us. They'll come down, just like those walls of Jericho came down. But we have to do what the Word says for us to do. So tonight, I just hope you saw how we fight that fight of faith. A lot of us say, fight the good fight of faith. Yeah, but how? Through words. Through applying the Word of God to the situation. Through speaking with the authority that God's given us to speak with. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that tonight? Praise the Lord. I just believe that we've got some warfare to wage. Amen? I mean, look at... this is good. Pastor will love this. We got the Greensboro campus. We got the Winston-Salem campus. We've opened another front. Amen? We're in a battle over there as well as over here. Amen? So we've just opened another front in the war. Hallelujah. And remember, it's an offensive. We're taking territory. Hallelujah. So now we take our weapons, which is the Word, and our shield of faith. We shield ourselves from anything that comes against us, and we offensively go out and take people out of the kingdom of the devil and bring them over in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So we're right there. We're right where we need to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we've had here tonight. We thank you, Father, for your Word. We thank you, Father, it is a two-edged sword. And Father, it is a sword that we can learn to be skillful with, rightly dividing the Word of truth and rightly using your Word as a weapon in this warfare that we're in. And we thank you, Father, for guiding us, for being the general, for being the leader of our offensive, giving us the battle plans. We thank you for Pastor Ed and Pastor Janie for getting those instructions and giving them to us as we continue on that offensive. And we thank you, Father, for the fact this is a good fight that we win. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you're dismissed. Praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. I hope you enjoyed that message. This was the conclusion of the message. So we're going to pick up next week with a brand new topic. So join us for that. Until then, you can write us here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 5213 5213 High Point, North Carolina, zip code 27262. And of course, you can also write me at my email address, which is drbill, Dr. Bill, drbill at wfm.org, as it says there on the screen. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God. The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.